Hey, welcome to the Kill the Frogs. This is episode 124 for March 19th, 2019. This week on the podcast, I'm joined by Ryan, Wes, and WC as we talk about basketball being snubbed, a major announcement involving everyone's favorite frog, LT, baseball sweeps Eastern Michigan, and a coach gets fired. And it's that one that I want to start off with tonight, folks. TCU, this was breaking earlier. TCU has fired basketball coach, or assistant coach, excuse me, Corey Barker. This was the individual who was linked to the FBI college basketball corruption case. And it came out today that the frog that we were all speculating that was at the center of this was none other than Jalen Fisher. What do you all think about this?
Well, Jalen Fisher doesn't even play for us anymore, so that was all, you know, kind of a wasted.
I think it's forced to do that. But what? What's the amount of money that it kicked around? $6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something really inconsequential.
I mean, seriously.
It was a small amount.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's sad, but I think that a firing had to happen, and you know. Onward and upwards. I mean, I don't know what more you can say about it. It's tragic. I'm sorry that a coach would think that he'd have to do something like that for a few couple of thousand dollars. But, you know, hey.
Now, I heard today, didn't TCU ask to interview him and he refused to
interview? That I don't know.
I heard that. I don't know if that's confirmed or not.
Are we talking about Corey Barker in this case as far as the interview, or are we talking about somebody else?
Okay. Corey Barker.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. I do know that Jamie Dixon is denying knowing anything about it.
I'm sure he didn't. I mean, why would he?
TCU had no choice. I mean, that's one of those situations where you roll the dice, you take your chances, and if you get fired, you get fired because you know the rules. These guys go through NCAA rules training just like the players do.
Yep.
And they have to sign off on that stuff, and they know the risk they take.
I heard too that back when all this broke last year, Del Conte set all the basketball coaches down and had them ask them if they were a part of any of this, and they all said they weren't, and they had to actually sign I don't know if you would call it a contract, sign something that was stating they, you know, weren't a part of any of this stuff that's going on. So I thought that was pretty smart. So he lied last year too, you know?
Well, then shame on him. I mean, you know, if he signed off on it and said I wasn't part of it and told Del Conte he wasn't, then, you know.
I just don't understand how you think you're gonna get away with it. In today's times, I just don't see how anybody thinks they're gonna get away with it. With social media and with how it's so easy to find out information about people, you know, hey, your life is not private as you think it is in today's time.
Sure.
And to do something like that, you're asking to get caught. You're asking for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now he's toxic. No school's going to hire him. No. I mean, at least for a long time. I mean, he may get back in somewhere, but you know, he may be lucky to end up coaching high school in Red River, New Mexico, for all I know. But
yeah.
Yeah. For what all boiled down to, what, 1 month's worth of salary?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Crazy. Now, there were sources that kind of knew a little bit more behind the scenes have reported that Fisher did not leave the team because of this. This had nothing to do with him leaving TCU. And according to the same sources that spoke to, I believe it was the Star-Telegram, Fisher never accepted any money. So at least that's the story. Obviously, Fisher's going to have to say that for eligibility purposes if that was the case. But, overall, this seems like a big nothing burger.
It wasn't Fisher accepting the money. It was them pushing him toward the right people.
Yeah.
That was the whole deal. You know, I can push this guy to the sports agent or whoever, the shoe people or whatever, you know, and stuff like that.
You know, the guy that he took the money from he was sentenced to 6 months in jail. Wow.
6 months.
You know, I think there's going to be a lot more ugliness to come out of this thing. It's we'll see. Time will tell, but I don't think it's over yet.
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding. It's going to get a lot worse for a lot of other programs. So if this is as bad as it gets, I think we count our blessings and move on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do move on. And before we get to the big baseball talk, basketball talk, let's talk about baseball sweeping Eastern Michigan. Guys are looking pretty good over the last week.
Yeah, I think, you know, I went to all three games and, you know, hey, they got a fun little team right now. You know, they swing the bat. I like the way they hit the ball. It's kind of funny because I think this year it's going to be a switch type deal. You know, for so many years we've talked about, hey, TCU's got the pitching, but do they have the bats? You know, and this year I really believe it's we have the bats. Do we have the pitch? We got Lodolo. Well, Jansen's hurt now again.
Who's hurt again? Who's hurt? Jansen? Oh, yeah.
You know, because he's, you know, he pitched, you know, a couple weeks ago, and then he's out again. So at least he wasn't one of the three starters. And wow. So, you know, they got to fight, you know, that, you know, shoring up that number two and number three spot. Well, that's the big key right there. If we can shore up that spot, I think, you know, I think this team's gonna be fun. I think they can go a long ways. But it's funny because this year, you know, the pressure's been the last few years. Can we manufacture some runs?
Yeah.
I don't think this will be the problem this year. It's can we manufacture some innings? Can we get some starters to go in, you know, make it deep into the game and, you know, not giving up too many runs?
Well, that's the question. I mean, batting was not a problem, like you said. I mean, as a team, we're hitting .318, which ain't too shabby at all. And with, 18 home runs, you know, that's not too bad. Pitching, you know, Janzik's hurt. Lodolo's going great. Williamson's going good. I guess Eisler had a pretty good outing this weekend, didn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so that leaves a question in my mind. Who's our Tuesday starter? Is it I guess Eisler is going to have to move into the weekends. So who's our Tuesday starter now? Is that
I do not know who it is. I do not know.
Yeah, that's kind of a shifting target.
Yeah.
I don't know because I didn't realize they'd moved it around when they did.
Well, yeah, and they had made a lot of moves that surprised me because I didn't get to come to the Friday night game. I was there Saturday and Sunday, and of course Oviedo's back at shortstop.
Yep.
When he was supposed to be playing third, he was injured at the very beginning of the season. So I'd be interested to hear what's going on there with all that. I mean, it works. He's great. I love that kid. But there was a lot of switching around.
Well, I think what happened, some of it was, you know, Oviedo was hurt. So, you know, I'd heard rumors that they might, you know, Shepherd might not play or get redshirted or this. Well, sheesh, they put him in there, and he's been knocking the crap out of baseball.
So, well, yeah, he had a grand slam the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a great third baseman. But you know, his problem was he had such a terrible time last year hitting. Well, this year he started off like a gangbuster. You know, he's hitting three. I don't know, three. You know, he's done well. You know, and so I think that changed their plans a little bit. You know, when that happened, you know, Humphreys is having to play some third, this and that, because that kid came in and he's knocking the cover off the baseball. So we got some kids that are swinging the bat. And so some of these guys that we thought were going to be playing, they're just trying to find spots to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good situation to have. I mean, you mentioned Gunther. He's batting .407, Reiser .381, you know, Asola .328, Watson .324. Austin Henry was named a Big 12 Player of the Week, I believe.
He was. He posted a .500 batting average in four games last week. So that's huge. He's batting .315, I think.
My favorite
player. .360, Shepherd .345. I mean, it's a man, I mean, they're pounding the ball. That's great.
I got to tell you, I love the ball, but Gunther, that dude with some baseball, he hits it hard every time.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. He tears the cover off the ball.
He does. I mean, I love to watch because you know that, you know, 9 times out of 10 when he connects, I don't care if he's at, gets out or not, he's going to hit it hard. I mean, it just pops. Why you get that? You know, it's kind of like Baker. You know, you get the kids at the bat, the ball just pops off the bat. Well, he's that kind of kid. He's fun to watch.
Good. I love guys like that. So did you say Oviedo's back at third base?
No, shortstop.
Shortstop, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, back at third base.
Okay. How about Hunter Wolf, though? What's he playing?
Who?
Hunter Wolf. He was playing shortstop for a while.
Well, that's the guy we're talking
about. That's the one. Like, I was shocked.
He's on the bench right now. Huh. He's having a hard time finding playing time.
What was his batting average? Was he not hitting?
I'll see what happened to him.
Hunter Wolf, let's see.
I thought he was.
I just had that up. Let me look at that.
Because I remember while you're looking, Wes, I remember at the beginning of the season, Coach was really excited about him on playing shortstop and then the second baseman, because I guess they played together previously and they had a really good dynamic. Yeah. Okay. And then he was excited about Oviedo. He's so versatile, such a good player. He can almost play anywhere. So putting him on third was a good
Wolf thing. Was batting .333, not too shabby.
What's going on?
I will tell you what happened is Shepard blew up all their plans. When Oviedo got hurt, Shepard came in and he just started knocking the cover off the ball. And all of a sudden they had a problem because he's probably your best true pure third baseman. And he's hit the ball. So, you know, they got a good problem.
Yeah.
They've got one extra guy.
No, you're right. That's a good problem to have.
Extra guy.
Well, and Oviedo's, he's hitting pretty well, and he can steal. He's fast. I can't remember if Wolf was – I think he was a – was he – I can't remember if he was a good stealer. Is that how you say it?
Base runner.
Stealer. Porter Brown was a leadoff, and he didn't play on Sunday, and I don't know what happened, but he tweaked something on Saturday. You know, I mean, so he might be hurt a little bit. He might be out for a little bit. I don't know. But, you know, he'd been playing. He'd been their leadoff DH hitter. And on Sunday, he didn't play. Now, on Saturday, something happened. I saw him take him back to the back, the trainers. They brought him back and finished the game. But apparently on Sunday, they decided to sit him. I don't know if that's just some, you know, just for precautionary reasons. And he'll be back, you know, maybe this weekend or if it's something, you know, that might keep him out.
Well, I'm glad they rested him regardless. It's good.
Well, let's take a look at our pitching real quick because we've got a team ERA of 4.06. Not bad overall, but you're looking at Marcelo Perez, who I guess is our closer now.
Yeah.
1.04, not bad. A little Dolo rocking along at a 1.36 ERA. Dalton Brown, 1.69. Matt Rudis, 2.45. Brandon Williamson, 2.61. You know, it's all in all, it's not a bad looking ERA. Halen Green, 3.48. Jake Eisler, a little surprising at 6.04. And then we kind of get ugly down here where you have James Notary at 11.25 and Janczak, 7.94. You know, Cal Coughlin, 9.53. Not great, but, you know, I think these guys have better stuff than what these numbers are showing. So just needed to pull together and start getting some strikes.
The big key is they can find that, you know, the second and third guy that can be consistent enough.
Yeah.
Week in and week out, you know, that's the key is what, you know, them guys have got, we got to find a couple of them. If we get to Perez, he's a freshman. Let me tell you, he's got some pop.
Does he really?
He's up there in the mid-90s. I mean, you know, in his fastball, he's got a nice little change. And, you know, he doesn't look like he gets rattled too much. But, you know, you got to get to him. You got to be able to get to him.
And he's a little guy. I mean,
oh, he's little.
I'm used to Riley Farrell and then Durbin Feldman. Both of them were kind of stocky and could bring the heat. But you look at Perez, and he's not a big guy.
No, he's a stick. But he's a stick that's got a fireball.
Yeah.
Kind of like me when I was that age, you know. I just, you know, well, anyway.
Well, I think, Dubber, I think you're absolutely right. If we find if we can just find a number two guy in this rotation, this team's going to go far. You find a number two and a number three, you're talking Omaha bound.
Yeah.
Yeah. If this team keeps hitting like they are. Because, you know, at that point in time, it's really just going to be anybody's guess as far as where this team is going to end up. But, yeah, we got to shore up the pitching. But you know what? We got one of the best pitching coaches in the nation. So
no doubt about that.
Yeah, if we've got the arms, he's going to be able to find a way to get him in there.
Well, it's all about weighted series. You gotta win two out of three. If you can do that in conference play, you're going to be all right.
Absolutely.
Saturday,
we come this weekend, we're going to get our first big test with Texas.
How are they doing this year?
2 out of 3 from Tech.
They're doing well, but I don't know who all they played. It's hard to tell.
Well, Tech, you know.
Yeah, Tech's going to be a tough one.
Tech is ranked 11th in the country, and they took 2 out of 3 from Tech this weekend.
Oh, really?
So it's going to be a good.
What's the weather supposed to be like? Let's see.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain Saturday. Pretty Friday. Supposed to rain Saturday and Sunday. That'll be interesting.
And we're playing Texas. Oh, play
of
Texas.
That'll probably change. That'll change 8 times before the weekend gets here.
Yeah.
Last weekend sure was pretty.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and then baseball, while we're on the subject, they play – so we're recording this on Monday night. Y'all will probably hear it on Tuesday. So they play Tuesday evening at the ballpark in Arlington against UTA. Tickets are only $12, so you can go to the UTA website and purchase them. It's all general seating, so just get there early and sit behind home plate. That'll be a nice evening out
there. That's our last time to play at
it will be.
The ballpark at Arlington, right?
Yep, because next year we've got a whole new ballpark.
With a dome.
Yeah, finally.
And air conditioning.
Woo-hoo. And I guess what I heard, they're putting football in the old ballpark, that
XFL. Football.
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah, XFL. And Stoops is the coach, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then what's the franchise?
I'll go check it out.
I don't know. What are they called?
The Arlington something? Or are they going to be the Dallas? Or they
better not be Dallas. If they're playing in our freaking ballpark here in Arlington, they better not be Dallas something or other.
No doubt.
Probably Texas something.
So irritating.
Yeah.
Let's see. XFL.
Oh, well.
I'm going to Google it.
Oh, well.
It'll be interesting to see. Well, so, it's going to be interesting to start Big 12 play here for baseball. So, we're looking forward to that. It's going to be really good. One other quick little note. Newsworthy note here is that the TCU women's tennis team is doing an excellent job. They've actually started 3-0 in conference play. And it's the third straight, let's see, that's the first time since the 2014-2015 season. They're 9-4 right now, so they're doing a fantastic job. They just beat West Virginia. And so I'm glad at least one team so far this spring can beat West Virginia.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Is it worth noting that the Darth Vader football won his first Italian Football League game?
Are you talking about Art Briles?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Darth Vader football.
Oh, my gosh. And seriously, I mean, did y'all see on Facebook? I think it was Mac Engel. Sorry, Mac. That infuriated me. I was so upset about that. Like, I can't – someone got on there and made a comment on the article that said – everybody's an idiot for not hiring Coach Briles to coach their football team.
Yeah, well,
they're not.
You need to check down that list because I got a couple of comments in there about that too.
Good. Man. I am going to go back and check. That burned me up.
He needs to let him rot in hell in Italy. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, pardon my language.
Well, and this, you know, it's one thing to make a mistake, but he kind of had a history, even from his Stephenville days, of being like that. So it's not like
he's one of these guys who's got to win at all costs, no matter. And I've heard from people who have been referees at the high school level say, when he was at Stephenville, say, I've never seen 16 and 17 year old kids that cut and that jacked up physically, meaning he thinks the Browns had him on steroids.
Oh yeah.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it either. And then that this same person who was an official said, you wouldn't believe it, Browns removed all rooms. So when they come in at halftime, it's hot, stuffy. You know, you're not supposed to make it a hotel for them. You don't have to, but there are rules of sportsmanship that you ought to follow. And that's the kind of thing Browse apparently does not believe in. And
so, Wes, you dropped out. Did you mean that they did this to the visitor locker room?
Yeah. Just the visitor's locker room and, you know, just make it real stuffy in there. There's no fan. There's no movement of air, things like that. Now, that was then when he was coaching at Stephenville. You know, there's all kinds of stories like that. And so, you know, he's always been a little bit of a pariah, and there's always been a little bit of a stench about him. No question he's a good coach, but his approach to the game is, you know, I don't care about
– whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Whoever gets hurt, so be it. And that's kind of his approach. And that's just not – that kind of stretches the boundaries of sportsmanship. And, you know, there are better ways to do it. And I can't ever see someone like Gary Patterson or many high school coaches doing things like that. And that's just me, but I could be wrong. But
right. Well, I think everybody is wise to stay away from him and keep him far, far away from their program. But
yeah, I couldn't believe that Southern Miss would even consider talking to him about being offensive coordinator.
Well, you'd be surprised what desperation will do to a program. I mean, Southern Miss, back when we were in, what, Conference USA, or was it the WAC? It was Conference USA, wasn't it, Southern Miss? I think that's what it was. But, you know, back during those days, I mean, that was a pretty good – we had some pretty good games between them. I mean, they spoiled us one year. And I think that they felt that they had, you know, good trajectory as far as where they were going. But, you know, they kind of fell off the face of the earth. And a lot of groups that are trying to claw their way back into relevancy, I mean, desperation calls. And sometimes they're going to look at whatever option's on the table. And if that means Art Briles is sitting there, unfortunately, they may take him up on the offer or at least entertain the idea of hiring somebody like Art Briles.
Hey, it's today's society. He'll be back in eventually.
I'm sure he will be. I'm sure people tend to be forgiving, but you know, I mean, credit to the Canadian Football League when they announced he was going to go up there, the Canadian fans said hell no, and they quickly.
Which, if you know Canadians, that's wow.
People want to turn their back on certain things.
Yeah.
They just act like it never happened when it happened.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the problem.
Interesting. Interesting dynamic.
It is.
Be back.
Well, I think that does it for our Art Briles.
Way too much time on Art Briles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
He's not worth
that.
That's
my fault.
Time.
I'm still chapped about that.
Anyway, you can catch our next segment about Art Briles when hell freezes over. Moving on, let's talk about basketball. How surprised were you guys that the men and the women missed out on the NCAA tournament?
Doubly surprised. I thought they did enough. Of course, I don't understand the basketball near as much as I try to watch the football, so... But, you know, in every instance when you talk to – when you listen to all the different people coming out talking about who's in, who's out, most all of them had TCU in. Yep. I mean, pretty much everybody had TCU in. You know, it wasn't like they were a bubble team. The overwhelming opinion was, oh, TCU's in now. You know, 20 wins and arguably the toughest conference. Seven of the losses came from the, you know, a group of you know, top 12. I mean, rankings 12 or better, you know, number 12 in the country or better.
And a couple of seven those games could have gone either way.
Yeah, and several of them could have went either the way. I mean, either way. But I guess in the end, really got them is on the road losses is what one of the big things I heard, you know. And, you know, and they had a big loss in West Virginia. They should, you know, they got dusted up there. And, you know, I mean, they could have won in Oklahoma. You know, you look at some of them games and, yeah, they could have been different. But I was really surprised. And then the girls were even a bigger surprise because, really, truly, I almost felt better. And again, all I'm doing is listening to everybody because I don't expert on it. But you know, the talk was, "Hey, yeah, TCU, the girls are gonna make it." Yeah, I was almost feared the boys worse than the girls, and then here it is, both of them don't make it.
Yeah,
that's the little private school in the NCAA big world.
Yeah, unfortunately,
I still believe that too.
Well, and I'm sitting here refreshing the women's NIT Twitter feed because they were supposed to have their results out 30 minutes ago before we started recording. They still don't have them up. And the last time they posted something 15 minutes ago said, "We're still kind of figuring everything out and we'll get it up as soon as possible." So I don't know what in the world those jokers are doing over there. But if we find out if the women, and they are currently an at-large to make it into the women's NIT, if we find that out, obviously we'll let you guys know before the end of the podcast.
Did y'all see where the ESPN screwed up? And this isn't the first time they've done this because I remember this, or else I'm having deja vu that this almost exactly happened last year, that they accidentally posted the at least part of the results of who made it into the women's NCAA tournament well before it was announced. So
no, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me.
I heard that it was the whole list. And then I also heard that it was just from a certain region. The schools that made it from a certain region. So they kind of, yeah, that's unfortunate. Well, someone might have lost their job.
Well, yeah. Shoot.
Well, all there's right. Always next year on that. So we'll have to keep.
Did it update, Sean?
Have to keep pushing forward.
Not yet. No, okay. No updates. So let's move on to the next big piece of news from today. And there was a press conference that we all got wind of late going, actually. It was just at the end of the weekend. We kind of had a little bit of an inkling something was going to go down today. And sure enough, they called the press conference with LT at the school. And this is kind of an interesting thing. So what they have announced with LT is the creation of what is being called the Tomlinson Student Athlete Development Endowment Fund. I don't know why they couldn't come up with a shorter name. That's the name of the fund. And it's going to be working in conjunction with, of course, TCU's current vision, which is called Lead On. And the idea here is that this is going to be benefiting student athlete development. And the fund will actually support student athletes from all 21 of TCU's sports programs. So it's not just football based. And so this is going to be an interesting kind of dynamic here between what LT is actually doing and what TCU is wanting to try to actually promote. Apparently, it's going to be character and leadership, service and engagement, community and spiritual uplift, and economic empowerment for these student athletes. So this sounds like a very interesting program.
It does sound pretty interesting. And, you know, I think that's great. I think I'm glad to see TCU take the lead in that. I'm glad to see LT having his name associated with it. TCU's done some great things with character development. And it all started with Eric Hyman when he came in. He kind of instituted a life schools or life skills type of course just on basic things. You may take these things for granted, but taking some of these kids and sitting them down at a dinner table saying, okay, your knife goes over here, your fork goes over here.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and just little basic things that you and I, some of these kids may never have had. And, you know, don't belch at the table, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, just little common sense things. And TCU took a lead in that. And apparently it's been pretty successful. And and Del Conte continued it. And I guess I assume AD JD has done the same thing, but it's a good idea. And a lot of kids don't get exposure to that at home. You know,
my mom was always slapping me, said, get your elbows off the table. Don't chew with your mouth open. Yeah, stuff like that. You know, so sometimes an extra mom riding herd on you is not a bad thing at all.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say, you know, LT, he has his Touching Lives Foundation, which is all nonprofit. And then he also started a for-profit. It was the LT, LaDainian Tomlinson Preparatory Academy. And it has morphed into what he's calling Team America, which is one team, all sports, all kids from every background. And so a lot, I know a few years, it's probably been 2 years, we worked with the cheerleaders over at Martin High School, and LT was, his coaches, his staff were working with the football team. So they're down there with the football team, you know, during practice. They have a classroom setting where they actually go over, just like you would kind of an etiquette school, but they go over the different pillars that Sean just listed. And it's a full curriculum. I mean, they have a website. They do they have homework. They're given things that they need to do in the hallways of the school, down to and then things, you know, to do for your mom, you know, to help her out, because, you know, a lot of these kids come from single a mom or dad only raising them. And so it was really neat. Just everything down to just clearing the table for your mom at the end of the night, if you usually don't. I mean, they were giving them just little tiny things that make such a big difference in life. I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but like you said, Wes, they just get overlooked. So now this has grown into, you know, I think the NFL is a sponsor, big name sponsors, if you go to his website. And it's to basically teach our entire nation how to be good leaders, just be good people, no matter what your political beliefs are, your background, religion, any of that, just be a good person. I think it's incredible. And I'm glad TC is one of the first colleges to sign up. And I think we'll see more and more colleges down the road sign up with them.
Absolutely. And LT is just a great guy to do something like that. I've always been impressed by him as a man. Of course, as a player, he had no other equal. But, you know, he's conscientious. His mind's in the community. I remember Shannon telling us a story about, I think it was LT's foundation or one of something he's associated with. I think they had an 18-wheeler full of turkeys, and they're just out there handing them out to the needy. And somebody's car broke down, and then LT himself is out there helping this lady push her car down the street, and he's back on the back of it, putting his muscle behind it, and you know, just things like that. I mean, you know, it's a little thing, but it speaks a lot about the man. And I think at heart, he's a great guy. And one of my favorite stories reading about him is when he was playing for San Diego. And I guess he and his wife, back in the days when you'd rent movies from Blockbuster, they had a, you know, I guess midnight's the deadline to get him in or whatever it is. And then it rolls over to the next day and you're fined. Well, about 11:45, he's laying there and he's, oh, I forgot to get those movies in. She said, oh, honey, just let it go. No. She said, oh, you know, I think she wife tried to say, oh, you're L2. You know, just, you know, act like it. He said, no, we got to get those movies in. They're due. So he gets out of bed at 11:45 at night, drives it to Blockbuster, drops it in the slot, goes back home. But that tells me a lot about the guy. And I think he's conscientious and good on him. That's fantastic stuff to hear about that guy.
Yeah. And I guess his cousin or nephew, who is playing for TCU next year. Did I hear that right? Yeah. Is it nephew? Who is it?
I think it's his nephew.
That's what I think. It's his nephew. Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is neat.
Maybe we'll be seeing some more of him.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. So breaking news. You guys want to see another basketball game at the Schollmeyer? This Thursday, TCU versus Prairie View A&M in the first round of the women's NIT.
Yay! Oh my gosh, so we have baseball Tuesday night, men's basketball Wednesday night, women's basketball Thursday night, baseball Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Y'all, this is like the best week ever.
Awesome. We also have something else coming up, which we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, that's fantastic. So it looks like we're paired up. If we make it past Prairie View A&M, which hopefully the women will, it looks like we're going to play the winner of UTA or Stephen F. Austin, which probably will be UTA.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And then if we make it past that, round three is either going to be Arkansas, Houston, Troy, or UAB for round three. So, yeah, congrats on the women for making the WNIT, but, you know, we really hope they had made the NCAA, but at least we get more basketball here in Fort Worth, so that's always a good thing.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Yeah, it took them forever to get that up. Don't look at their Twitter feed because it's like just filled with people upset that it took them so long to get it up.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, congrats on the women. All right, well, and to wrap up, last thing we want to talk about, of course, is what's coming up here on March 23rd. So that's going to be the Cook's Children Neuroblastoma Walk, which is going to be out at Clear Fork. So if you haven't already, go ahead and go to nbwalk.org. It's NB for Neuroblastoma Walk.org. And go ahead and join KillerFrogs.com and Cook Children. Again, this is on March 23rd at the Blast as we run, walk, and dine to make a difference in the lives of patients and families fighting neuroblastoma, which, of course, everybody knows is a rare and aggressive form of cancer. Hopefully one day this walk will be no longer needed. But for right now, if you've got it in you, come on out. You know, we got a 1 mile fun run. There's a 5K at the heart of the ranch at Clear Fork. My wife's going out there. She's participating in this.
Yay!
And she's, you know, she's going to have fun. She does a little walk and then she'll run for a bit and then she'll walk and run for a bit. So they're taking a bunch of people from our church up there and she's going to be a big part of this as well.
Thank you.
You know, it's a fantastic time. If you haven't gone out to it, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks, but this is the first time you've heard about it. Ryan's been out there before. We've got some fantastic Superhero Micah t-shirts that Ryan got done for the team. And if you want to go ahead and join us, that's actually the name of our team. So if you go on to nbwalk.org, you can sign up. Look for Superhero Micah, and you can join our team. You get a great t-shirt. It's for a great cause. It's a wonderful time out there, and trust me, it's worth every minute.
Yeah, if you haven't done it before, folks, it is, A, it's a great cause. B, it's so heartwarming to go out there and see those kids who are fighting that horrible disease out there, and there will be some, and it's for them. And it's for our superhero, Micah, who's as much of a frog as anybody ever was. So come out and honor him. It's a lot of fun. You'll be well fed. The food is great. The entertainment's fun. The atmosphere is fantastic. You couldn't ask for a better way to spend a Saturday morning.
Excuse me.
Come on out.
Definitely. And if you can't make it out, you can always donate. You can just go to Cook's Children's, and they'll be more than happy to help you out with the donation.
Absolutely.
So you don't feel like you have to come out to the walk to donate or make a difference. You can do it right from your computer.
And you can click on Superhero Micah and actually donate to his team. So his dad will be out there with his delicious cookies. All the more reason to show up.
And they are delicious, folks.
They really are.
Which is the reason why you have to do a 5K after you eat the cookies.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you can just eat them while you're walking the 5K.
These are made with butter, folks. This is not margarine.
very nice pastries, so. All right, so we're looking forward to that. It is going to be now just an absolutely packed week of, you know, Frog athletics. Obviously, we got the big thing coming up with Cook's Children and the NB Walk. So, I mean, this is a fantastic week. Come on out, support. Should be a beautiful week for baseball and basketball. We got tennis also going on. I mean, anything you want, you can go ahead and find it up at TCU or join us on the 23rd for the NB Walk. But with that, is there anything else that we missed for today? Anybody wanted to talk about something else? Wes, don't bring up Art Briles again.
I think that was my fault.
No, I'm done with Art Briles. He's off my radar screen now.
All right.
In my rearview mirror. Where he belongs.
All right. Well, I think with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. You can find the podcast. We're on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And if you haven't already, go on to iTunes and give us a quick little review. It helps other Frog fans discover the podcast. And, of course, you can find Killer Frogs on all the major social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, the YouTube. And, of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, discuss TCU Athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads, as well as find all of your available TCU news over at frogswire.com. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for joining us once again. But it's a time where we all get the frogs up and get to say,
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!